Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 226, which I'm calling Sweltering in Place. Yeah, it's humid around here, and I can't wait to get back down to Tennessee in the central air conditioning of my new house. That'll be happening sometime next week, once we know exactly when our new furniture will be delivered. In the meantime, we're here in New York sans air conditioning, suffering through the summer. Well, knowing that this will be our last summer here is helping us cope with that suffering. Well, enough of this now. What do you say we get started?
Aw, yeah.
Before I get started today, I would like to address the attempted assassination of former President Trump. I place the blame squarely on the shoulders of the corporate media of this country. Of course, some deranged individual would attempt such an evil deed when they're bombarded 24/7 with the constant vile name-calling and vilification of the man. Corporate media in this country has become nothing more than a mouthpiece for the Democratic political party. And I and many others are sick of it. Well, enough said. Tech news. As scheduled, Samsung held its Summer Unpacked event on Wednesday of last week. Many Samsung and tech fans derided the event, claiming that this particular Unpacked resembled an Apple event. Well, I think that's a little harsh. I mean, how many ways can you do a presentation of this sort? Now, I will concede that this Unpacked was a bit old-time Apple event-esque. But like I said, there are only a small number of ways to stage something like this event. These days, Apple only has pre-recorded virtual events, and I like them better, but perhaps that's just me. I recall the introduction of the OnePlus 3 as being the first virtual smartphone announcement that I ever watched way back in June of 2016. That was before OnePlus co-founder and designer Carl Pei left the company to found the Nothing Company. I was so impressed with the event that I actually purchased a OnePlus 3 and really enjoyed that phone, and that is until I handed it over to my eldest daughter, who got a couple of years of good use out of it. The point I'm trying to make here is that unless a company has a great public speaker like Steve Jobs, they too should go the virtual event route. But I digress. Now back to the Samsung Unpacked event. The first product announced to kick off Summer Unpacked was the highly anticipated Galaxy Smart Ring. There wasn't much, if anything, added to the extensive leaks this product had leading up to its introduction. In fact, despite the conjecture, there was no NFC capability nor blood pressure monitoring features introduced with the ring. The ring does have Samsung AI, though, and the ability to use gestures to control certain models of Samsung's Galaxy phones.
Okay.
The ring is lighter than Aura's model, with a concave design that promises to mitigate unwanted scratches due to normal wear and tear, if you're concerned about that.
No.
The good news is that there will be no subscription plan for getting the advanced features of the accompanying software.
Yay!
The bad news is the Galaxy Smart Ring will set you back $400 of your hard-earned dollars in order to purchase one.
What?
And that's a full $100 more than the base model of the competing Aura Ring. Samsung and tech pundits pointed out that because there are no subscription costs, the Galaxy Ring will pay for itself over time. This fact didn't seem to help quell the concerns of many people who voiced their surprise with the $400 entry price. Personally, because I upgraded from the Aura Model 2 to the Model 3 within 30 days of the new model's release, I had all subscription fees waived for a lifetime. What lifetime wasn't specified. Either it's as long as I use Aura Smart Rings or as long as the Model 3 exists, which hopefully isn't the case. I'm sure many Samsung and Android users in general took advantage of this offer, so they won't be switching to the Galaxy Ring anytime soon. I also received a $50 discount on my purchase, meaning that I paid but $250 for the Aura Model 3. Aura has been steadily updating the firmware, which brings new features to the now 3-year-old piece of tech, which I find refreshing. Aura itself has stated that instead of bringing out a new model every 2 years, they'll be concentrating on updating the features through firmware updates on the current model. Oh, and for now, the Samsung Galaxy Ring is for Android only, which is kind of short-sighted because Samsung is cutting out a large chunk of potential customers. Still, I hope the Galaxy Ring is a success and helps in getting the giant fruit company to make their own smart ring in the near future. Until then, I'll be sticking with Aura. Next, the Galaxy Watch Ultra took center stage. The watch looked a lot better than the renders that have been making the rounds on the intertubes lately, and I really like the way the watch looks. Its design reminds me of the great mechanical watches of yore from back in the late 1960s and early 1970s. The Galaxy Watch Ultra starts at $649, and that's $150 cheaper than the Apple Watch Ultra. One advantage that the Apple's version of an Ultra smartwatch has, it can be used as a serious dive watch thanks to its 100-meter water resistance compared to Samsung Ultra's watch unspecified depth rating. The Apple Ultra also has twice the RAM and a slightly better display. However, Samsung matched or exceeded all other specifications of the Apple Watch Ultra. Again, many accused Samsung of copying Apple because of the use of the color orange for highlights and the base strap, with some stating that design even resembled Apple's, which I don't agree with. I'm a watch guy who has an extensive mechanical watch collection, and I like Samsung's design better than Apple's. For us normies, the $299 Galaxy Watch 7 was then introduced, and it had not much outward differences than the last model, but with upgraded internals. Well, that's a given. In this case, I prefer the Apple Watch, but like the Galaxy Watch's price better. Then it became the various models of foldable phones turn on stage. As a disclaimer, I must say that I'm not a fan of the niche foldable phone market as it stands now. The screens have a fold line running down the middle and are very fragile, and the mechanical bits of the frame, especially the hinges, are more prone to wear. Now, I get it. It's a cool, futuristic form factor, but until they work out the kinks, foldable phones will remain a niche market, well, at least in my opinion. The new Galaxy Fold 6 brings a slimmer and lighter design with a wider and taller 6.3-inch outside screen, updated internals, and will cost $1,899.
What?
And that's just for the base model. The more popular and reasonably priced Galaxy Z Flip received an even more compact design, upgraded internals, and the cameras have been upgraded also. The entry-level Z Flip will cost $1,099, cheaper but still out of reach for many during these rough economic times.
Come on, man.
Well, I guess that's what credit cards are for.
Yes.
Many on the internet were complaining about these prices, comparing the Samsung Galaxy Fold and Flip to the more reasonably priced models from Motorola and other Chinese brands.
Uh-oh.
Another complaint was that these new phones had only received iterative updates and Samsung was falling behind its competition. This probably explains why Samsung is bleeding market share within the foldable market, the market Samsung itself helped pioneer, and that these new models most likely won't stop this free fall. Finally, the most controversial new product was announced, the $249 in-ear Galaxy Buds 3 Pro and the $180 Galaxy Buds 3, whose redesign strongly resembles Apple's AirPods Pro. Previous models of Galaxy Buds were stemless, unlike these third-generation Buds. Again, I have to defend Samsung here. The stems allow the microphones to be mounted closer to the mouth, which will help while making calls, and the controls, which are now mounted within the stems, which allows easier access to them. For me, this is a logical step to take in order to improve features, and I think they look really cool, especially in the dark gray color, like futuristic AirPods. I wish Apple would let me buy a pair of AirPods in the same color. The Buds 3 Pro also feature a cool blue LED light along the length of the stem that can be toggled to be always on. Both models also feature active noise cancellation, but the plain Jane's Buds 3 open style will probably hamper ANC on that model. The cases for both models of Buds 3 have a clear top, which is a nice touch in my opinion. The internet was set a howling about how Samsung copied the design of the Apple AirPods, but if these complainers actually used them, I think they would appreciate the new design over the completely in-ear design of the older models. All in all, I feel it was a solid summer unpack for Samsung. As far as the Android world goes, Samsung has built the most extensive ecosystem for the world's most popular mobile operating system, albeit at a price. Myself, if I were ever to go fully back into the Android ecosystem, I'd go with the erratic and somewhat incomplete Google version, or should I say vision of it. The reason would be because of more timely firmware and software updates, being Google is the creator and maintainer of Android. Yet another major data breach amongst U.S. cellular service providers, this time AT&T. And if I'm recalling correctly, it's the second major breach they've had. According to an article on PCMag.com, and it's good to see that site still exists, AT&T described the breach as, a quote, phone call and text message records of nearly all AT&T cellular customers from May 1st, 2022 until October 31st, 2022, as well as on January 2nd, 2023, unquote. Hey, wait a minute. Let me check my calendar. I thought so. It's currently 2024, and yet we're just hearing about this now.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's timely.
No.
This hack actually took place on an AT&T workplace hosted by cloud provider Snowflake. Hey, what's in a name? Mel, to get it? From the article, quote, the stolen call and messaging logs include details that allow an attacker to believably assume someone else's identity and trick a person into giving out sensitive information, handing over money, passwords, or more, unquote. So, beware of texts and phone calls asking for those things going forward from spoof numbers. This probably explains the rising number of text messages from numbers not in my contacts. I haven't been a customer of AT&T for over a decade, but the spillover from this hack will affect us all. You have to use common sense when dealing with spoofed numbers and requests for personal info, and especially money. But common sense doesn't appear to be prevalent these days, especially amongst the tech-savvy younger generations. AT&T said the almost two-year delay in making this data breach public was due to constraints put upon the company by legal authorities investigating the hack. Now, I don't believe this statement, not for a moment. I think the company didn't want its stock to plummet and did everything in its power to hold off announcing the breach. Reportedly, one person has been arrested in connection with the breach so far. Now note that AT&T wasn't directly hacked. Snowflake, its cloud computing provider, was the entity that suffered the breach. Remember, there's no such thing as the cloud. It's just someone else's computers. If there are no legal ramifications for these big corporations who mishandle your data seems on the daily now, IT budgets will continue to remain low, bringing increased chances of breaches such as this one. When it comes down to it, it's all about money. It's always about the money. And speaking of money, the EU must be facing another budget crisis. Now, how can I tell? Well, the EU is going to make a cash withdrawal from one of its personal automated teller machines, which consists of big tech companies, especially U.S.-based tech companies. Though China-based tech companies are increasingly coming into vogue lately. You know, there's gold in them thar hills. According to Reuters, Elon Musk's X has been targeted for a cash withdrawal this time. Well, this follows a 7-month-long investigation by the European Commission under the Digital Services Act, which requires very large online platforms and search engines to do more to tackle illegal content and risks to the public security. I have to ask, who decides what is illegal content and risk to public security? Well, this process is unknown to me, but I imagine it's some Soviet-styled Politburo commission buried deep inside some ugly government building somewhere in Brussels. The EU singled out X's dark patterns. What the heck does that even mean? Advertising transparency. Again, what does that mean? And data access for researchers. Ah, there we have it. The EU wants to be able to censor speech like they could before Musk bought what was then Twitter. The EU statement then went on about the blue checkmark feature, which verifies account holders, but that's just centrifuge. Censorship is the crux of the biscuit here, so to speak. Musk recently made a statement saying that the EU offered to make these allegations go away if only he would allow the EU, quote, data researchers, unquote, access to users' data. I'm here to tell you that data researcher is another name for government censors, who, if allowed to access what they crave, will stymie all opinions and thought that doesn't line up with the current government agenda. In other words, these faceless bureaucrats want to control the narrative of everything. Love him or hate him, Elon Musk will stand up to this, unlike Apple, Google, and Microsoft, who kowtow to these odious technocrats in order to negotiate a lower fine for themselves. Mr. Musk should do what the canceled platform Gab did. Just stop allowing access to those located in Europe. You know, the EU is always saying that they want to spark competition. Well, if all the major tech companies withdrew from providing services to EU countries, then local companies can fill the void. You see, I just figured it all out, didn't I? Next on the EU ATM hit list are TikTok, AliExpress, see what I mean about China, and an old favorite, Meta, me, Facebook. Tech I'm using. The stars have lined up, and not only is my furniture being delivered down in Tennessee, but Amazon's Prime Day is happening July 16th and 17th. I'll be purchasing my computer desk and chairs along with some other things. I already have my selections loaded into my shopping cart waiting for me to pull the trigger. Now I'm looking forward to setting up my home office recording space. Are you looking forward to this year's Prime sales? I finally got to try out Google's Docs competitor, Proton Docs, which I covered in the last episode. Though Proton has both mobile and desktop apps, you can only access Proton Docs by using the web browser version of Proton Drive Cloud Service. Upon opening up Proton Docs, I realize what we have here is a very basic version of a word processor. The standard functions are all there, but the polish isn't. I'm sure this will change in the future, or at least I hope it does. I guess Proton wanted to reach the most customers in the shortest amount of time, and that's why the company released a web version first. Now I understand it'll take time coding mobile and desktop apps, and when Proton does get around to that, I hope they apply the polish I just mentioned and update the very basic and arcane user interface. I opted for a 2-year basic subscription plan, so if things don't get better with Proton Docs, I just won't be renewing it. I feel 2 years is plenty of time for Proton to get things right. Other than that, there's nothing else to report concerning the tech I use. All seems to be well.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Entertainment news. The big story this week was the merger of Paramount and Skydance. Paramount has been hemorrhaging cash for a while now, was heading towards bankruptcy. Well, that was according to those who follow Hollywood financials. The merger will see a much-needed injection of cash into Paramount. Paramount, like other older Hollywood studios, decided to jump on the streaming bandwagon and took and continues to take a financial beating. In olden days, these studios would license titles to streaming services such as Netflix, until greed took over and they decided that if Netflix could make some money, well, they could make even more. The logic being, it's our content anyway, so let's host it ourselves. Sounds easy. The only major studio that didn't fall into this trap was Sony, who still licensed their content to other services instead of trying to create their own, and by all accounts are doing quite well at that. I've been a subscriber to Paramount's streaming service, Paramount Plus, for some years now, and the only streaming services I watch more are Netflix and YouTube. I hope this merger doesn't result in higher pricing for Paramount Plus. Yeah, you know, it's all about me. And continuing with the most important person in my life, which is also me, is a story about a merger that wasn't reported in the media and will never be. That's because it concerns the streaming platforms owned by two people who have been canceled by all media. Them being former shock jock Anthony Cumia and Proud Boys founder Gavin McGinnis. Cumia rose to fame as the co-host of the very popular Opie and Anthony radio show before being fired. And that was because of some tweets that many consider to be racist. While still a radio host, Mr. Cumia would stream the O&A show using an early streaming service whose name I've forgotten. It might have been called Ustream, but I'm not sure. On weekends, Mr. Cumia started streaming from his house. This inspired frequent O&A guest, comedian Joe Rogan, to start his own streaming podcast, and we all know that it led to the Joe Rogan Experience, which is currently the world's largest podcast, well, at least in terms of audience numbers. After his firing, Mr. Cumia formed the Anthony Cumia Network, later renamed to Compound Media. Eventually, Compound Media set up a studio in Manhattan and became a subscriber-based service, quickly accumulating over 40,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Most coming over from his radio audience. I was one of those early subscribers. Compound Media added more shows to its stable and the network prospered. The shows were humorous and non-politically correct. After the COVID period,
China,
I felt the quality of the shows fell off and the star of the network, Mr. Cumia himself, changed from general humor to concentrating on racial issues. I let my subscription lapse when this change became apparent to me.
Yes.
As for Gavin McGinnis, he co-founded the former rogue news outlet Vice, but left when he didn't agree with the direction the company was headed. And as we all know, too, Vice crashed and burned this year and barely has a presence these days. McGinnis joined Compound Media, hosting his own show where he founded the Proud Boys as a joke. We know what the Proud Boys mutated into, so I won't go into that here. Eventually, McGinnis wasn't welcomed anymore within the Proud Boys organization, and he disassociated himself from them. McGinnis left Compound Media and formed Censored TV, his own subscription-based streaming service. I don't know how successful Censored TV is, but instead of having an in-studio presence, McGinnis and hosts from the other shows on the network streamed from home, thus saving a lot of overhead. Over the years, Compound Media has lost a lot of its audience, especially after Mr. Kumia moved to South Carolina and stopped having guests, and at the same time shortened his show times. Compound Media has been losing money going on 2 years now, with Kumia making up for the losses out of pocket. I guess McGinnis and Kumia decided to merge the two services, with McGinnis taking over the financials for the new network. McGinnis promptly fired all the Compound Media staff and made ridiculously low offers to the remaining show hosts, causing them to leave the network. The studio shut down with most of the equipment being sold off. Now, I do feel sorry for the Compound Media staff that stuck with Kumia through thick and thin, keeping the network running during the dark days of the lockdowns,
China,
while Kumia comfortably streamed from his home. Unfortunately, businesses need to be profitable in order to survive, so McGinnis did what was necessary. I guess he was designated to be the Axeman. I bring up this story because it signals the end of an era. Whatever you may think of Anthony Kumia, he was a streaming pioneer. I won't be subscribing to what is now called Compound Censored. None of the content this new entity has any appeal to me. Podcast news. Well, a lot went on this week within the world of Podcasting Incorporated, which is very uncharacteristic these days. First, podcast production studio Lemonada is rumored to be up for sale. Lemonada was formed in New York in 2019, which was the beginning of the heyday for Podcasting Incorporated, by two women who both lost brothers to drug overdoses. They launched the podcast Last Days, which chronicled the last days leading up to drug overdose victims. Last Days is still the studio's flagship podcast, though it has veered off from its original topic. Seinfeld star Julia Dreyfus' Wiser Than Me podcast is Lemonada's most successful show. The rest of their stable is filled with the now outdated celebrity-hosted podcast model, where the celebrity talks about themselves, which probably explains why the studio is up for sale. Examples of these celebrity-hosted podcasts are Fail Better with David Duchovny, The Sarah Silverman Podcast, Choice Words with Samantha Bee, The Pink House with Sam Smith, along with a slew of minor celebrity shows. Lemonada is also the current home of the Failed Archetypes with Meghan Markle podcast that was let go by Spotify. Well, now that I think about it, Lemonada probably paid too much for that one.
Yes?
The other podcasts in Lemonada's stable are of the NPR type, which have also fallen from favor these days. Just recently, Lemonada recognized the WGAE union, which had organized the company's employees.
Oh, no.
There was a lot of movement between podcast hosting services also last week. Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert went from Spotify to Wondery, and This American Life left the New York Times for NPR. Spotify is making the right decisions here by letting go of all its exclusives. This frees up capital to invest in other, more profitable areas. This American Life was slated to go behind a paywall if it stayed with the New York Times, and this would have caused a huge drop-off of audience, thus advertising money. Spotify for Podcasters app has added the ability for listeners to comment on their favorite podcasts, and the app is now open to all podcasts, not just those hosted on Spotify. And that's another great move. You know, I'm starting to become impressed with moves Spotify is making lately. This bodes well for the platform's future, in my opinion. According to Cumulus Media and Signal Hill Insights, YouTube is now the most used platform for podcast consumption. Now, not the YouTube music app, YouTube itself. But this gets me thinking that I should publish an audio-only version of the OFNT podcast on the platform. Yeah, no video for this kid. I don't want to be responsible for any nightmares my image may cause people. Popular non-podcasting 2.0 podcast listening app, Overcast, is getting ready to release a completely redesigned version of the app. I used Overcast back in what I constantly hear referred to as the day, but it got too expensive for me. I thought about going back to Overcast, but like Pocket Casts, Overcast uses its own index, and the developer stated he has no plans on implementing any of the podcasting 2.0 features. The podcast host has published the results of this year's gear survey, which crowns the Shure SM7B and its variations as the most popular microphone amongst podcasters. Well, if you watch any streaming content these days, then this would have been obvious to you, as 90% of these content creators use the SM7B. Well, I guess I'm a nonconformist because I'm sticking with my Electrovoice RE20, which was born in the broadcast world and still sounds the best to these old fart ears. But then again, my ears are kind of shot these days.
Yes.
To wrap up, I've decided to just lug my Lewitt Connect 6 interface back and forth to Tennessee with me instead of spending $200 on a Connect 2 audio interface. The Connect 6 is barely half the size of my 11-inch iPad Pro, so it won't be much of a bother to lug it back and forth. God willing, next week's episode will be recorded in Tennessee, and I expect it to sound much better than the From the Kitchen disaster previously recorded down there. I'll still be using the Rode Procaster, though, so we'll just have to wait and see how it all turns out. The music is playing, which, of course, is a sign that the episode is ending. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and of course, that's only if you're so inclined. I'd really enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. The grass is already dried out, and there's not much more damage to be done to it, so get off my lawn. See you in Tennessee. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Get AI writing support that works where you work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.